All right, guys, welcome back. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch, and I'm not feeling well. I'm going to put this out there. This is the Michael Jordan flu game, but I'm calling it the J.E. flu game at this one.
Because or the Jalen Hurts flu game.
The Jalen Hurts flu game.
Even though he didn't play too well last. It's all good.
Yeah, man. Does the flu like impact like your decision making? Because, man, I don't know what he was doing throwing that ball downfield. Now, they got away with the PI. They did. But yeah. I don't know what they're doing throwing that ball down the field. I don't even know.
Yeah, that Eagles matchup. That matchup was quite interesting last night, Jake. And we're getting to the end of the season. And, you know, it's do or die at this point. And, of course, the Eagles, they're set. They got, you know, they're fine when it comes to the NFC. Everyone else, like the Rams, we got to win now. It's really important. The Seahawks got a big win last night. And so, Jake, I was thinking – the Seahawks with that major win last night, that I feel like that could put the Rams in a little bit of jeopardy if we don't win out. So fingers crossed there, brother.
I feel as though, like, I feel like they're in a really good position. The Rams are, yeah. Even still. And the reason I can't stress enough, I've been saying this, they're week 15. I mean, you play in the NFL. You've been around the block with the, this team has to win. This team has to tie. This team has to do that to get into the playoffs. Have you seen a week go more perfect for the Rams, like for any team? Like, I mean, I just felt like everyone they needed to lose. You talk about how about Jake Browning getting the win on, against the Vikings, his former team that cut him against the guy that they cut him for.
Yeah, he talked about
it. In overtime.
That was excellent.
You know, but like, who would have thought? I mean, with no Jamar Chase and T. Higgins turning into an alien. I mean, that was just that. The arm thing, that was just crazy.
And Saquon had a crazy catch against the Saints as well. We're going to talk about that. But yeah, Jake, I want to talk about this. I think I've said it before, the value of the backup quarterback. I think it's even more now. I think you think about Tommy DeVito. He got knocked out. Tyrod Taylor had to run the helm. And essentially, I think at the end of the day, Jake, we're going to do the draft this next year. And number one quarterback, number two quarterback, number three quarterback better be decent. If not, going to be sad. The fans are going to be sad, the team's going to be sad, and the front office is going to be sad because Tommy DeVito is running the Giants football team right now, right? And so at the end of the day, or Jake Browning, and so at the end of the day, you need strong backups. And I won't say too much more on it, Jake, but I just want to put that little thing in there.
I'm with you. Like, luckily for the Rams, if God forbid, and by the way, perfect timing because, you know, the Saints game, the Rams are playing. The Saints are the ones that knocked out Stafford last year. Bryce Perkins came into that game. They ruled out John Wolford before the game, so it was Bryce Perkins as the backup. And
that defense is tough.
I love Bryce, but that was not an easy matchup to just get thrown in there in the third quarter. Be like, hey, kid, you're down 10. Good luck. Like,
well, to be fair, Saints. To be fair, Jake, I feel like quarterbacks should not be running against Saints defenses. I think that's number one and number two. Going to Tom Brady's point about, I think it was one of the Steelers players that got ejected. Quarterbacks, when it comes to defenses, have to be a lot smarter. Tommy DeVito, I think when he got hurt playing against the Saints, I think he was waving Saquon to go block somebody. You know, he was pointing. You know what you do in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't see the cornerback and got just, you know, destroyed. Hoping he's okay. I know he got back into the game. I just think that's a takeaway. Don't run the football against the Saints, if you're a quarterback specifically.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Rams got the Jake Browning win. They get, of course, I mean, Bryce Young, I mean, the odds, you have to understand something. They won one game. We thought they were going to be better. They won one game up to this point. The odds of them getting fired. that second win when the Rams need them to take down the Falcons. Falcons might be done after that. I mean, you had Bryce Young, who everyone and their mother is calling a bust already, which is not fair in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But you had Bryce Young go 95 yards down the field in like inclement weather and win the game. And it's like, that was the type of luck. And then Baker Mayfield, he's the only quarterback in NFL history to have a perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field.
Chris Godwin went off. I mean, hey, perfect storm, brother. Perfect storm.
we talked about it. Got to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan this upcoming week. And right now the Packers, after not long ago, we were thinking, the Packers might be the sixth seed, lock it in.
Yeah.
Now they've lost to the Giants. They've lost to the Bucks. They have eight losses. Their ceiling is 9-8. The Rams ceiling is 10-7. The Vikings ceiling is 10-7. But they played the Lions twice. So you know, before we get into all that, I just want to give you the opportunity to let everyone know about Underdog Fantasy.
I appreciate that, Jay. You can start playing Pick'em or Weekly Fantasy for any sport today. Users will receive 100% deposit match up to $100 if they use promo code BelieveInRams at sign up. Start playing Pick'em in Weekly Fantasy Football today with Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy. And my voice is incredibly low right now because of the, well, you know, the flu game aspect of this
whole voice thing. Change. All good. No worries.
Yeah, you know, just throw it in. I should have thrown in like a Darth Vader voice changer or something like that. You know, that would have been hilarious. I think the Rams are gonna win the Super Bowl.
That's Jake.
Next time, my guy.
We might got to clip that, bro. That might have been the funniest thing you said. I think while we were recording. That's good, my brother. But we're talking about the Rams right now, so no worries. But that was funny, my guy.
Hey, you know, or you know, the Bane mask, you know, from The Dark Knight Rises. Like, oh, well, you know, that voice, you know.
Yeah, like that high-pitched
voice, Well, you know what else has a high-pitched voice? Actually, it doesn't. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs this season. Get the latest odds, lines, and match reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up today. Get in on the action and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code BELIEVE. Bet Online, where the game starts. I can't believe I read that without stuttering or anything. Yeah, I'm not feeling well. I can't stress that enough. But hey, we made it. Let's talk about the Rams.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Rams because I got to tell you something, Cam. I don't have a life. I know that's not a news flash thing. I don't. I'm constantly, you know, looking up stats, doing these projects. And man, I just
obsessed with greatness. It's Rams greatness, bro. I feel you.
I love it. Well, first off, I'm going to start by saying this, and I don't care how crazy this sounds. The Rams can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if they make it to the playoffs, Jake. Yeah. If you make it to the dance, brother, you're bound to, you know what I mean? Just win it all.
The four best teams, I'll do you one crazier. You ready for this? The four best teams in the NFL, the 49ers, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Rams. I think the Rams are top four team right now.
Wait, the Bills, though. Hold on. Why the Bills?
The Bills are surging at the right time. And remember I told you on another show, I said Ken Dorsey, like oftentimes we talk about it. Coach gets fired at the beginning, in the middle of the season, and he's considered the scapegoat, right? It's clearly just a ploy. Ken Dorsey was the issue in Buffalo. So when they got rid of him, now Joe Brady, who by the way was the offensive coordinator when Joe Burrow was at LSU, is now starting to turn it on. He was with Carolina last year, but he was working with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, who the coaches barely even trusted, and then he went to the Rams. So Joe Brady now has Josh Allen. He now knows how to use James Cook. He's got Stephon Diggs, and all of a sudden this Bills team is surging at the right time. And I'll tell you something, Cam. Yeah. I don't know if I said it at all on our show because we started our show, I think, week four of last year, something around that.
Yeah.
I'll say this right now. Last year, my Super Bowl pick before the season, I had the Rams repeating and going to the Super Bowl against the Bills. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the Super Bowl this year.
Okay, run it back because that was the first game of the year last year. Bills blew the Rams out. Yeah. I like that, Jake. I'll call this. I'm going to say something even wilder, not even wilder. That's what I've been saying all year. I like the Ravens. I like the list that you gave. I'm just going to switch out them for the Dolphins. I just can't disrespect Tyreek Hill. He's having quite the season this year. The Bills, though, like you said, though, the Bills can flip that. From what we saw, Jake, in the past 3 years for the Bills, they're supposed to be in the Super Bowl. And so this year, just a little bit unfortunate. We just talked about some of the changes that were made. And now they're really good. So it sounds about right. So I'm excited, Jake. This football season is exciting. Seeing the Seahawks beat the Eagles is just getting exciting. This is good ball, brother. This is good ball.
Except, and as a defensive player, you know this. Why, when James Bradbury is playing as poor as he is playing, why are you leaving him with no safety help over the top? Matt Patricia, my guy, are you kidding me? Well, and I'll also say this, and to keep it related to the Rams, can people start to finally give Sean McVay the credit he deserves? I mean, this guy has gone through Wade Phillips. He's gone through Brandon Staley. He's gone through, well, now, you know, he has, of course, Raheem Morris.
Who might not be there next year because he'll be a head coach somewhere because he's that damn good.
Hopefully. Selfishly, I'd want him back, but I will root for the guy wherever he goes, and I hope he gets a head coaching job, and I think it's a joke if he doesn't. But the point is, three defensive coordinators, okay? Then you have the offensive coordinators, and I mean, it's, you know, Matt LaFleur, it's Mike LaFleur, it's Kevin O'Connell, it's the guy that went to Kentucky, whose name is totally escaping me.
Packers head coach. If you got a whole bunch of head coaches that coach under Sean McVay. Yeah.
So my point here is that what's the worst Sean McVay's done? 5-12? Oh, and it took like a historically awful season in terms of injuries for that to happen. They were in every single game except for the Chargers game going into the fourth quarter. That team, that's his worst team. Look at how consistent he's been. 7-7 right now, has a chance at 8 wins, you know, on Thursday night, which we're going to get more into. You know, wins 9 games in his worst season up until the 5-12 season. Won a Super Bowl at 12-5. Went 13-3. Went 11-5.
It's been like this, Jake. Up and then down and then back up.
Yeah, like
exponential for sure.
It just, like, for me, the reason I bring it up is because we're watching the Eagles, and you got people now, and I'm going to call out Simone here. Simone came on our show.
Okay. And Jake, why you give Simone the finger like that, Jake? Like,
hey, Simone is a real one, but
yeah, she is.
I saw her tweet, and it sounds like the Eagles fans are starting to turn on Jalen Hurts a little bit. And
is she turning on Jalen Hurts?
And this is what I'm going to say. Okay. I'm going to say coaching matters. And I'm going to say, look at how important coaching is. I mean, like I said, everyone takes for granted what Sean McVay does year in, year out, new faculty and everything. What the Eagles right now are showing you is that that's not the norm. Okay, you had people telling me Brian Johnson was going to be a better OC than Shane Steichen. Well, that's proven not to be true. And oh, by the way, Shane Steichen's 8-6 with a Colts team that is starting a backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew.
Shane's like, I'll get up with you, dog.
Yeah.
It's a chef in the kitchen, Jacob. We talked about it, though, right? You have to have the right chefs in the kitchen. Head chef has to be proper. And we talked about this with the Patriots specifically. Bill Belichick probably having to leave the Patriots at some point and Kraft having conversations, say, hey, you're the right guy to lead this team. You may not be the right guy to be the GM. You may not be the right guy to call defense and offensive plays, but you're the right guy to lead our organization. Full respect, Bill. Same thing with the Eagles is they're changing people around. Same thing for the Rams. Sean McVay is the right person for it. Last year, we found out that, hey, offensive play calling, you might want to pass up the sticks, big dog, because you have a kid, you have life happening. I think same thing with just any other organization. The head chef has to be proper, and the sous chefs have to be proper for the proper meal. So I know I went on a little tangent there, Jake, talking about food because I'm kind of hungry. But at the end of the day, the Eagles aren't serving up the proper dish, and I don't know if they're going to make it the Super Bowl this year, Jake. I don't know if they're going to be there. So we'll see.
I know people go back and they point to, oh, well, the Super Bowl Rams didn't win a game in November. And no, the Patriots, when they won the Super Bowl over the Rams, were bad in December. This, you know, I was one of those people. After last night, I'm not one of those people anymore. You literally demoted your defensive coordinator in week 15. That team's not winning a Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? They're dysfunctional as all get out.
I mean, Jake, what about the Chiefs? Really quick, I know we're talking about the Eagles here. We're talking about Sean McVay. We're talking about the Rams. But think about, like, the teams that we expect to be in the Super Bowl that have changed coaches. Just back to your point, how they're not performing like we thought they would perform.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the Chiefs, bro. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, Kadarius Toney. We talk about discipline, and I'm gonna get on this about our guy Kendricks as well. You know, for the Rams, he's playing good football, Jake. I went to PFF. I saw his stats. He's playing good. I get that. I just don't think he's disciplined. Going back to Kadarius Toney, he's not disciplined. And I do think the Rams can make the Super Bowl. The Chiefs can make the Super Bowl. Those factors, the discipline factors, are going to be the reasons why they don't win it. Jake, you think about the Ravens and Rams games, right? You go back to the special teams unit. The reason why the Rams did not win that football game is because the special team unit was not sharp. And Super Bowl teams are sharpened everywhere you go. All three phases, Jake, they're just sharp, sharp, sharp. And the teams I just listed, the Eagles, the Chiefs, and, you know, sometimes the Rams, Jake, we saw those coverage busts. It was unacceptable. And to win the Super Bowl, each team has to tighten it up, Jake. We're in December football. We got to tighten it up.
Yeah, and going into this game, which I'm going to go on record saying this is one of the most important games of Sean McVay's entire head coaching career. I understand that sounds crazy, but if you really think about it.
Second to the Super Bowl game?
Oh, I wouldn't say like it's second, but it's one of the biggest, I would say. Okay. Biggest regular season, absolutely one of the biggest.
Regular season, okay, I like that.
And I look at this game and I'm like, this is it. I mean, if the Rams lose this game, I don't see a way they get in the playoffs. I just don't.
That part, Jake, because it's the back end of the season, Jake. You said where everything's going nicely. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. And we have, like you said, Jake, it's really important. We have to finish strong because, if they don't win this game, we're in the same position as last year. In the same position. So,
they're 26th in the league. The Saints are in run defense. Kyren Williams just had another 150-yard game, like it wasn't any big deal.
Two fumbles, though.
I'm going to give him a pass, and here's why. I think it was one of those games, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it's one of those games where everyone's playing loose.
No, wrong.
I don't know. I know it sounds crazy, but I saw it. I think everyone was playing loose against the Commanders. There was a lack of respect, I noticed. And I think that's what it was. Here's how I would say it.
It was a mental thing. It wasn't like skill. It was more of a mental thing.
Yeah, he's not sitting there like, oh, I'm just going to carry it out. Like, no. But I think, first off, Kyren at the end of the game when they're interviewing him, how do you feel about this win? 150 yards. And he's like, I got to be better. I can't fumble the ball twice. He immediately put it on himself. But what I'm saying is that it kind of goes back to what Sean McVay was saying on his head coaching, McVay show, is that, you know, when Kyren reaches the ball on third down, you know, it scores the touchdown. Remember, scores the touchdown, and that the lady official like just said that it was like a fumble or whatever. And just I remember it distinctively. I'm not calling out because she was a lady, but you know what I mean? Like distinctively. I don't remember what game it was. I think it was Arizona maybe. But Sean McVay said, yeah, but unless it's fourth down, I'm not risking the touchback there, you know? Mm-hmm, so it's kind of like that where if that's the Ravens game, he's not fumbling. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying like Kyren goes in like, yeah, I could just be careless as all get out. Like, no, I don't think that was the deal. Yeah,
he got comfortable. My man, he's
very comfortable. He's
outside of Christian McCaffrey, Jake, we probably can argue that he's one of the better running backs in the NFL right now. I mean, Alvin Kamara is always on my list, Jake. I mean, I know he's not doing as well. When Alvin Kamara is going, Christian McCaffrey, those are the top two. Derrick Henry as well. Those are the top three running backs in the NFL, right? I think Kyren is playing at that top two running back level. And I mentally, he's a rookie. Yeah. So man, I saw this, Jake. Two fumbles versus the Commanders is unacceptable. Great running backs bury teams like that, if that makes sense, right? Like Todd Gurley, I was thinking about Todd. Todd would bury the Commanders. Like, there's no fumbles. It's like, damn, Todd, like, you do that again. And Kyren's a rookie, to be fair. Like I said again, that is unacceptable, Jake. And going back to my point about the Super Bowl, the Rams will not win the Super Bowl if that mindset continues. Because, like you said, the Ravens, it's like you let little things slip, you know, here, like, as you go. And that is unacceptable for a championship team. Going back to the Kendricks part, Darion Kendricks from the defensive side, you know, he's gotten better with his flags and everything like that. But Terry McLaurin was killing him, bro. Like, you know, come on. And the Kadarius Toney, going back to his piece, he's lost the game for the Chiefs about two times. And so what I'm getting at, Jake, is as a professional football player, this is coming from the athlete's perspective. Mm-hmm. As a professional football player, everything has to be buttoned up. It has to be, you can't let up on your enemy type of thing where it's like, oh, I'm gonna kind of let them breathe. It's like, no, like, done, like, take them out. And I think the Rams don't really have that mindset. Jake, what game? Oh, it was the Ravens game, Jake. The Rams were crushing them. And it was the Rams we ran the ball seven times, Jake, that second series. We could have scored. We went to the pass game. We don't have that killer mindset, Jake. If the Rams had a killer mindset, Jake, we would have ran that ball in there. It's like, you know, Ravens, you're done at halftime. we're cutting you out at halftime. And I think – for the Rams to get to the Super Bowl, I think we need to get that mindset. I think, and it starts with Kyren Williams. And Kyren Williams can't have those two fumble football games because, I mean, you don't see Puka Nacua doing, you don't see Puka Nacua like, oh, you know what? I don't want to be the best wide receiver in the league.
Well,
like,
you see Puka Nacua dropping a lot of passes. That's okay. To be fair.
That's different, though, than fumbling, Jake. That's
no, that's true.
Totally different than fumbling in football.
That's true, but I mean, he's had some crucial ones. Then he's also had some crazy catches. It's like he drops the easy one, and then he makes one that like he has no business making. Yeah. Good news for the Rams fans who are trying to. I mean, I feel like people are trying to make this a tougher game than it is. I'm not trying to rule out the Saints. I'm not going to go on here like Colin Cowherd is on his show saying the Rams are going to beat them like a drum. That's not me. I have 24-13. That's how I have the Rams beating the Saints. So I think it will be kind of one of those ugly games where Sean McVay decides, you know what? I'm just going to let Kyren Williams kind of dictate this game. I'm going to take control of this game. Time of possession is key. This is a short week. I'm not trying to put Matthew Stafford in jeopardy because the offensive line is going to be a little bit more exhausted. And what I will say is going back and looking at the numbers, I did a lot of digging. Over the last decade, home teams playing on Thursdays are 105-85. This year, home teams are 10-7 on Thursdays. But Cam, this is where the fun starts because dating back to 1980, home teams playing on Thursdays in December are 40-25 all time. Sean McVay is 5-2 in Thursday games. His only two losses being against the Bills at home. He's 3-1 at home, by the way. The Bills at home, and then he lost a 30-29 game against Seattle that I didn't even want to talk about. I think you might have been on that team. I don't remember for sure exactly what year that was, but Zerline pushed it just off to the side, and it was just.
I want to talk about special Rams special teams in a minute too, here, buddy.
Well, Haversick's got to make his kicks, especially in a 24-13 game like I'm talking about. He has to be able. He has to go back, do whatever he did in Baltimore, whatever voodoo thing he did, whatever ritual, get back on that. Because he's got to be that the rest of the way.
And Jake, too, right? Like those missed kicks, it's like letting go of the rope almost. Like Kyren kind of, you know, oh, we got the Commanders, like let go of the rope. And you see it picking up in other places on the field.
Yeah.
And it's, and I go back to that Ravens game, Jake. I mean, these guys, first of all, the ball is punted in the middle of the field. I mean, you're going up against a backup punt returner. So I get it. Like, oh, backup punt returner, he's not going to really do anything with it. Well, he punt the ball in the middle of the field and then the folks don't tackle. You get out, you know, they outflank the Rams and breaking tackles. That stuff carries over, Jake. That Ravens loss, that stuff carried over to this Commanders win, thankfully. But just getting beat up, sometimes you have to recover from getting beat up and say, tell your mind, hey, next game I gotta come in sharper. And this Commanders win, it was a great win, a fantastic win. It wasn't that sharp win. It wasn't that Super Bowl Rams win. So. Fabulous, fantastic win, Jake. We're in a great position.
McVay wasn't like, happy, though.
I'm not happy, Jake. You can hear my voice like that. That was unacceptable. To be honest, bro, the blown coverages, the fact that the Washington football team came back towards the end of the game, like the missed field goal kicks. It was funny. I was watching the game, Jake. You know, my wife was watching the game, too. And I was like, oh, they missed this field goal? They're still in this game. Like, the Rams could possibly lose. And it was unacceptable. It was an unacceptable win, to be honest. And so we got to tighten up if we want to win the playoffs, Jake. That we got to be hard on ourselves. That's me being hard on us. Like, hey, we got to do better because Terry McLaurin was going off. He had two big explosive plays on our guy Kendricks. There was a busted coverage. Like, that's not good football.
Yeah, and I mean, you kind of take it with a grain of salt as well because Donald's out. Akello's out. I think the game, Sean McVay wanted to go in there, get a healthy lead, and take his guys out so they're ready for Thursday. They looked ahead. It's okay to admit that. Anybody trying to defend this team, I mean, I'm not saying they didn't look at the Commanders at all. They definitely played the team that was on the field, but Sean McVay taking out Akello here and Aaron Donald here when they're up 28-7.
Akello's that guy, and I keep saying, I know sometimes so on the show, you're like, Akello, let me tell you his numbers. And I'm like, okay, you know, but just keep looking back at it. I'm like, Akello's the guy, man. He's a guy, and John Johnson stepping up. I know they had that busted coverage, you know, with Quentin Lake or whatever. John Johnson.
Quentin Lake's playing well.
They're playing well. Like you said, there's some mishaps, there's some miscommunications. My thing is, we're getting to the playoffs, Jake. We want to make the playoffs. So if the Rams players are listening, we got to tighten it up, bro. We got to tighten it up.
I do agree. I think the Saints team is playing better football as of late.
If Chris Olave's back, it's gonna be some problems. Hey, yeah. Derrion Kendrick, tighten up. If Chris Olave gets back from that ankle injury, hey, they're gonna throw the deep ball, bro. Like Jake, we've been watching all these games. I know Derrion Kendrick, he's one of the better cover corners. The receivers that he goes up against, they have 100 yards a game, bro. So just know if Chris Olave's back, they're going at number one, bomb, number nine route at number one every time for a touchdown.
You know what's funny? Last six games, Akella Witherspoon is the most, he's the 10th. He's in the top 10 most targeted corners, and he's got a crazy catch percentage. Like, I mean, he's number one in the league.
He's a beast. He's a beast, bro.
So I don't think people realize that, but I mean, that's just the fascinating thing. How about Matthew Stafford, by the way, the way he's playing right now? There's nobody like him right now in the league. I mean, just what he's doing. You talk about it. I mean, I think the thing with Matthew Stafford that kind of goes unnoticed and unappreciated is how well he is at getting out of harm's way. So you could talk about, oh, he's barely gotten sacked. Like, he's gotten sacked, I think, the fewest since the bye of any quarterback. That doesn't mean that it's been a perfect pocket. You know, that's not what that means. So I'm going to defend Stafford there, but holy hell, Cam, Matthew Stafford leading the league in passing touchdowns since the bye. He's been incredible.
He's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. You've been saying that for a while.
He is, man.
And when you've been saying it, Jake, they haven't been winning. So when people see it, you know, you put it on Twitter, people are like, oh, whatever. And then now it's like, bro, I've been telling you, and you're right, Jake. And to be fair, he has two Hall of Fame wide receivers and hopefully Tyler Higbee, a Hall of Fame tight end on his side as well. So, yeah, he's crushing it, bro.
I mean, and I think the thing about Matthew Stafford is that, and I said this, I told you this. I said, look at the rushing touchdowns. This guy has like 9 passing touchdowns when I'm talking about this. And I'm like, everyone keeps saying, oh, he's got 9 passing touchdowns and interceptions. He's having a bad year. No, because when he gets in the red zone, they run the ball. Now, I wish they would run the ball a little bit more, but he's had 21 passing touchdowns now and still has only 9 picks. I mean, I'm going to say this right now. Okay. By definition of the MVP award and who's most valuable to their team, we saw, without Matthew Stafford, this Rams team was abysmal. I mean, the defense was great. They absolutely deserved to win against the Packers. But, I mean, Brett Rippon shouldn't have even been on the field. But the point is, I mean, Matthew Stafford has been unbelievable for this team this year. And, I mean, Dak Prescott, I think, as well as he's played, you're not getting the MVP if you get blown out. Brock Purdy has 3 straight games where as soon as some of his guys were out of the game, he was just like not the same quarterback. He has a game week 2 against the Rams. The first game that really put it out on the map, like, oh, you can really defend Brock Purdy here, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's the thing with, and I know his stats are great and I've been defending him. I don't think he's just some like game manager. I disagreed with Cam. I actually really, not you, Cam, but Cam Newton.
Oh, okay.
I really do feel like he gets unfairly hated on. But if Brock Purdy is the MVP favorite and Christian McCaffrey is number 2 right now, how does that work? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, Matthew Stafford, like, without him, the Rams are nothing. What would Sam Darnold do? I mean, we've already seen what Garoppolo does in that system. What would Sam Darnold do? You know what I mean? Like, maybe Kyle Shanahan, and that's another thing, because the 49er fans will say, well, if he's as great as you're saying, then he should win coach of the year. But if he wins coach of the year, then why is Brock Purdy the MVP? See, you can't have it both ways. You know what I'm saying? I
mean, hey, when you win football games, Jake, that the clip that the 49ers win in, to be fair, they should win all the awards. I mean, they've been winning, Jake, for the past couple of years. Especially Christian McCaffrey. I mean, the guy is, he's throwing touchdowns. He's running touchdowns. Like, come on. He's balling out, and the 49ers, they get what they deserve, what's coming to their way. I know we got Matthew Stafford. He's balling out. The 49ers, like, Jake, if they get the awards, give them the damn awards because those bowls are balling.
Oh, so, no, no. I hear you. And I don't think Stafford necessarily deserves the MVP. I don't think the statistical output's there, but it kind of goes back to my point. I don't think any quarterback really deserves MVP this year. I know it's a quarterback award, clearly, because Cooper Kupp didn't win after getting the Triple Crown, which is why I don't think Tyreek Hill deserves it. How does Tyreek Hill deserve it if Cooper Kupp won the Triple Crown and he didn't get it?
Tyreek
Hill gets it. And now we all want to act like Tua Tagovailoa isn't a good quarterback. You know what I'm saying? By the way, that Dolphins team without Tyreek Hill won 30-0 against one of the toughest defenses in football. So like the way I see it is like, there's not really a quarterback taking over. You know what I'm saying?
But
focusing on the Saints game, I gave my prediction. What are your thoughts on this game, man?
You said 24, 24-13. I think for this game, I think the Rams are going to run the ball, which they should. I think when it comes to the score, I'm going to say 24-21 Rams, because we got our special teams in order, Jake. Last week, the special teams weren't in order, and I think it's going to be close game. It's hopeism. We got our special teams in order, hopeism. And the reason why I think it's going to be a close game is because the special teams hasn't been great lately. I think it's going to be a close game. If Chris Olave is back, that's why I'm saying it's going to be a closer game than not. And then also, too, I think with Alvin Kamara, his running ability is great. I think his numbers haven't been great, and I think he needs a game to make sure that his numbers are solid. And I think this could be a game for him, depending on how the Rams defend. Now, Ernest Jones, Jake, I have in my notes, Jake, you mentioned the way he's been blitzing. He's a lethal blitzer now. Like, if they call a blitz with Ernest Jones, it's going to be a sack, a disruption. It's like one of those, like a guaranteed type of thing. Like Steph Curry shoots your three-pointer, 50% is going to go in. Same thing with Ernest Jones. Like, if you blitz him, I think at this point he's that good now where he's going to cause some damage. And so I think it's going to be a really close game. I got the Rams and Taysom Hill balls out. I gotta think about this, Jake. I'm thinking about some of the game breakers on their team really quick, Jake. Jimmy Graham, he's been scored a touchdown every past three games. Alvin Kamara,
I'd be shocked if he doesn't score a touchdown this one.
in that part. So we talk about game breakers. We got to stop him. Our guy Roseboom, he had a nice tip pass where John Johnson got an interception last game. We're gonna need more of that effort here because Jimmy Graham is gonna be very, very active, I think, in the red zone. And then you think about their defensive side, Jake. You got DeMario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, Paulson Adebo for Lattimore, because Lattimore's out, and Alante Taylor, Cam Jordan. So they got some boys. So it's going to be a tight game, I think, Jake. And hopefully we can see Puka Nacua, my man, just turn up this game. I know folks have their eye on him. We're double teaming him, keeping their eye on him. But Puka Nacua, and then Jake, really quick, I know I'm going to pass the mic to you. Our guy Brian Robinson, though. Our guy Robinson, the way he's been, DeMarcus Robinson, sorry, not Brian Robinson, DeMarcus Robinson, the way he's been playing, Tutu Atwell, like, does DeMarcus take the starting role now because he's scoring every game? He's making the big plays every game. So I don't know what you think about that, but that's someone I really want to give the game ball to and highlight. And I think he's going to be our game breaker. He's going to be the reason why we win this game. DeMarcus Robinson finding his way in the end zone.
Man, four straight touchdowns. He's like up there for the lead then. I mean, that's crazy. I think they like that bigger body. But I think they also like to kind of, you know, put Tutu in there and stretch the field. It's going to be fascinating. Why not use all four of them on the field at the same time, you know? I think the thing that isn't really going on record with people and they're not realizing is what the Rams are doing, putting up 28 last week, putting up 31 the week before. The majority of that Ravens game is without Rob Havenstein and Tutu Atwell. The 28 was without Rob Havenstein, Tutu Atwell entirely. I mean, this team is finding its stride. And like, even when Joe Noteboom clearly isn't anywhere near as good as Rob Havenstein, like, just the fact that they were able to do what they did and Stafford's doing what he's doing. And I mean, some of the throws he's making, and you got Kyron running the way he is. And oh, by the way, Cooper Kupp's back, you know, two straight 100 yard games.
Balling.
I feel really good about this game. 24-13 is more of a conservative approach. I'm going to be honest with you. If the Rams blow out the Saints and they do, you know, bang them like a drum, I think is what Colin Cowherd beat them like a drum is what Colin Cowherd said. I won't be surprised, Cam. I won't. But I'm going to stick the conservative approach and go with 24-13. Awesome. I think it just it makes sense. I think, you know, you get this done. And oh, by the way, this team right now, 4-1 off the bye. They can get to 5-1. Most importantly, after this game, as long as you secure the W, not only will I be in attendance for the Giants game, but the most important thing, the mini bye, man. To get a mini bye, I don't have to tell you as a former player, to get another break to go into week 17. I mean, that's crazy, man.
Need all that. And you got the 49ers at the end of the season, Jake. So like you said, we need both of these doves. Need all that mini bye, need all that rest for the 49ers, because the 49ers are sitting pretty. And like you talked about with Kyren Williams kind of letting up, the 49ers think that the Rams, they just beat up on the Rams. So they might let up as well, right? They might be like, oh, you know what? It's all good. Next thing you know, Kello, interception. John Johnson, interception, right? And then just the ball keeps rolling. So I'm praying that the 49ers at the end of the season take us lightly so we can find our way in the playoffs.
Hey, I think they're going to get in the playoffs. Real quick, for those of you who are just praying that it happens and are concerned, I'm not really that concerned, but I wanted to bring up the I have it right here. Okay, first scenario for the Rams to clinch the playoffs before week 18. Okay, first scenario, 2 wins, Saints Giants, boom. Lions win over the Vikings this weekend, and the Seahawks lose either the Titans or the Steelers game. Now, before anybody says they're not losing the Titans game, you have actually defended Ryan Tannehill. It sounds like he could play this week. I don't know if he's going to. They might go with the, you know, Malik Willis kid. But
I knew it. I knew Malik Willis was going to be starting at some point this year.
But I mean, it's so unfortunate. You know, Levis is playing well, and then he gets his, you know, high ankle sprain. Of course, the Seahawks getting lucky there. And then that last game, week 17 against the Steelers, don't count the Steelers out. They're still fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, it sounds crazy, you know, but this team took care of business earlier in the season. They won 7 games. That's why they're in this position right now. If they beat the Bengals this weekend, they are 8-7. That game now becomes make or break. And you could have Kenny Pickett by then. I don't know if you will, but if they could somehow hang it on with Mason Rudolph and then they get Kenny Pickett the following week, that's not a guarantee for Seattle. But then the second scenario is a little bit crazier, more like week 15 crazy, which you don't just get very often. Mm-hmm. 2 wins against the Saints and Giants. Lions beat the Vikings. The Panthers beat the Packers. And then week 17, the Packers beat the Vikings.
Okay, yeah, crazy.
So, I mean,
First scenario. I like first scenario.
I will say this, though. If Bryce Young wants to pull another fast one and beat a team that is expected to win by more than a touchdown, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that's the second scenario. I think the first scenario, Will Levis, he's coming along, Jake. I think really impressive to see, because at first we were like, Mayo boy, what? And then he beat, you know, he's beating teams.
He's now doing he's out.
He did a great job. And he's out now, And so I'm hoping that he finds – and Jake, too, think about this. Think about teams tanking for quarterbacks in the first round. Well, you got a whole bunch of first-round quarterbacks, even second-round quarterbacks that are hurt now, right? Think about the Colts. You think about Will Levis. And so I don't think for teams or fan bases, tank for the next quarterback. That don't matter, my guy or gal, because the backup quarterbacks are running these teams now. And so we got to be really thoughtful about that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. I think the first scenario is real. To just assume the Seahawks, who beat a reeling Eagles team that's 5-4 in the last 9 games, to just assume they run the table is a little ridiculous in my opinion, but maybe they do. Regardless, the Rams have to take care of business. They control their own destiny. There's really no excuse. At the very least, there's no excuse to lose to the Saints and the Giants. Teams would kill to play the Saints and the Giants at 7-7 right now in the season. So you're lucky right now. I mean, it could be a lot tougher. And also the Saints, like I mentioned, the Saints are at a disadvantage. Short week, and they have to travel.
Yeah. So and Michael Thomas is not we should get on their tail. We say back in the day, Jake, when I play, we should get on their ass. So I'm expecting the dub for the Rams for sure.
I am as well. Oh man, if they lose this one though, it's going to be a tough, Gonna
be a tough... My hairline gonna go back a little bit more next week. So hey, Rams, yeah, come on now.
Tough show next week. It'll be very similar to last year, if that's the case. So let's stay away from that. But hey, to be fair, last year, last time they played on Thursday night, Baker Mania happened. Was one of the most fun episodes we've ever recorded.
Yep.
So hopefully we have more fun like that. But that's going to do it. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch. Thank you for hanging out and sticking with the flu game. I made it. We're alive. Brother. We're well. Thank you. And we'll see you guys soon.